They came in the night. No clanking armour, no banners fluttering in the wind, just whispers. Footsteps softer than a falling leaf. They were called many things. Shinobi, Supper, or simply Ghost. But history would come to remember them by only one name, Ninja. In today's episode, we are doing a deep dive into one of the most mysterious characters in Japanese history, the Ninja. It is a fascinating history, and no historical character can be said to have inspired such cultural awe, especially in modern times. This is History Unpacked. If you enjoy the content, consider subscribing. We post every week, and we welcome any feedback. We hope you enjoy today's episode. As an aside, in an earlier episode on American martial arts, Eric did explore the ninja both as a cultural icon and a fighting style. So I advise checking that out in our back history. So, you think you know the ninja. Black pajamas, throwing stars, smoke bombs and silent kills. Hollywood turned them into pop culture icons. Deadly acrobats leaping across rooftops, fighting samurai with a flip and a blade. But what if I told you that the image is more fantasy than fact? That the real ninja was something far stranger, far more cunning, and sometimes, most of the time, not even fighters at all. To understand them, we need to travel back, way back, to a Japan divided, ruled not by one emperor, but by dozens of warlords, each with ruthless ambitions. Ninja didn't spring from the earth fully formed. Their roots reach deep into the soil of early Japan, centuries before they earned their name. In the 6th century, as Buddhism swept across the islands, so did foreign ideas, esoteric philosophies, stealthy guerrilla tactics from China, and the seeds of espionage. Mountain-dwelling monks, known as the Yamabushi, trained their minds and bodies in isolation. They allegedly walked between the spiritual and the physical worlds. They learned to move silently, to endure harsh conditions, and some even became mercenaries in the power struggles that plagued medieval Japan. But the real crucible of the ninja came in the 12th and 13th centuries. As the feudal age deepened, Japan fractured into warring factions. The Genpei War set clans against each other in a bitter struggle that shaped the rise of the samurai and the need for someone to spy on them. And so, in medieval Japan, espionage was born not from honour, but from desperation. By the 15th century, two mountain regions, Iga and Koga, became synonymous with the ninja. But why there? Geography, isolation and independence. These regions, nestled in rugged terrain, were difficult to conquer and even harder to govern. The people of Iga and Koga formed loose confederations, small, self-governing communities that didn't answer to any daimyo. They trained in irregular warfare. They protected their borders through deception, sabotage, and guerrilla tactics. And over time, they developed a system of espionage that rivaled anything in the world. They didn't call themselves ninja. The term shinobi no mono, one who endures, was more common. Others used the word supper, a derogatory term implying trickery. But these were not dishonorable men, they were professionals. Professional scouts, professional spies, professional saboteurs. They trained in ninjutsu, not a mystical martial art, but a diverse set of survival and intelligence gathering skills. Disguise, infiltration, escape, signals, disinformation. And yes, sometimes combat, but only when necessary. So, as Eric commented on in his video, ninjutsu is not a martial art, but a sort of training manual for infiltration and communication. Their primary weapon was knowledge. So, forget the black outfit, that's just theatre. In reality, a shinobi might dress as a monk, a merchant, or a peasant, sometimes even a rival samurai. Their goal was not to stand out, but to blend in. and their strength wasn't brute force, but vanishing into the background. Ninja manuals like the Bansen Shukai, written in the 17th century, detail techniques for climbing walls silently, creating distractions with fire, even manipulating enemy psychology. They use simple tools, caltrops to disable pursuers, bamboo tubes to breathe underwater, ashes to obscure vision. And their greatest weapon, fear. Rumors of invisible assassins traveling through the mists of the night spread through war camps. A samurai who woke up to find his command tent breached, no sign of forced entry, might not sleep again for days. Fear broke armies long before blades did. Contrary to popular belief, ninja and samurai weren't always enemies. In fact, some ninja were samurai, low-ranking retainers with special training, or ronin, who sold their skills to survive. In times of war, daimyo employed shinobi to gather intelligence, disrupt enemy logistics, or infiltrate enemy castles. They didn't boast of it. Espionage was considered dishonorable in the rigid warrior code of Bushido. But it was tolerated, and quietly funded, and always disavowed if discovered. One of the most famous ninja missions, the siege of Odani Castle in 1573. Oda Nobunaga, the ruthless unifier of Japan, sought to crush the Asakura clan. But before his army attacked, his ninja had allegedly already infiltrated the castle, set fires and sowed confusion. Victory came swiftly, not from strength, but from strategy. And speaking of Nobunaga, in 1581, Oda Nobunaga had had enough. Iga's independence and its ninja were a thorn in his side. So he marched 40,000 plus troops into the mountains. The Iga people outnumbered 10 to 1, fought back with traps, sabotage and ambushes. But they were overwhelmed. The Iga ninja were crushed. Survivors fled, some were absorbed into other domains, others became wandering mercenaries. But their legend only grew. In the aftermath, Hattori Hanzo rose to fame. A former Iga ninja and a samurai, he became bodyguard and strategist to Tokugawa Ieyasu, the man who would one day become shogun and usher in 250 years of peace after Oda died. Hanzo's loyalty became myth. A man who could move armies with a whisper, a ghost who walked beside the future ruler of Japan. So, with the rise of the Tokugawa shogunate in 1603, Japan entered an era of stability. No more civil wars, no more shifting alliances, and no more need for ninja. Officially, they vanished. But unofficially, their skills were still used, quietly, sparingly. Intelligence networks kept the peace. Firefighters and police in Edo adapted ninjutsu techniques for urban security. And in some remote provinces, descendants of Iga and Koga continued their training, passing down scrolls in secret. But the world moved on. The samurai class faded. The sword gave way to the rifle. And the ninja, once feared, became forgotten. That is, until someone started writing about them. In the 20th century, the ninja were reborn on paper. Writers romanticized them as magical warriors, mystics, masters of the elements. Authors like Yamada Futaro and movies like Shinobi no Mono brought them back into the limelight. Then came manga, video games, even Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Suddenly, everyone knew the ninja, but through the lens of fantasy. Gone were the patient spies of Iga, in their place, sword-slinging, shuriken-throwing martial artists in masks. It was fun and it sold, but it was a mask over a far deeper, stranger history. Today, the myth is stronger than ever, but so is the curiosity. Historians and martial artists are peeling back the layers of legend to rediscover the real ninja. Schools like the Katari Shinto Ryu and the descendants of the Iga retainers preserve what remains of authentic ninjutsu, not for combat but for understanding. Tourists can visit Iga Ueno and Koga for ninja museums, Throwing Star Rangers and Blackclad reenactors. But in the archives, dusty scrolls tell a different tale, one of survival, deception and enduring skill. And while no one hires ninja anymore, intelligence agencies, special forces and cybersecurity experts owe them a quiet debt, because at the height of ninjutsu lies one timeless truth: knowledge is power.